Despite his reputed wealth, the elder J.P. Morgan did not leave one of the great American fortunes. When he died in 1913, it was first estimated at $75 million, then $50, and finally disclosed there were only $19 million of securitites in the entire estate, of which $7 million was owed to the art dealer Duveen. J.P. Morgan Jr., known to a very few intimates, as Jack, was embarrassed to find he had to sell off many of his father's art treasures to pay the debts of the estate. Most of the huge sums handled by J.P. Morgan went directly to the Rothschilds. In 1905, the New York Times noted in its obituary of Baron Alphonse D. Rothschild that he possessed some $60 million in American securities, although the Rothschilds, according to most financial authorities, had never been active in American finance. 114. 115. Lincoln Steffens noted, "Senator Aldrich is a great man to me, not personally, but as leader of the Senate. He, Aldrich, bows to J.P. Morgan. The other day J.P. Morgan came to Washington, and he and I and Aldrich had a conference. And I noticed how he, Morgan, addressed himself to me, not to Aldrich. Morgan talked to me, while I talked to Aldrich, who talked to Morgan." Morgan's partner, George W. Perkins, worked furiously to obtain Theodore Roosevelt's nomination as McKinley's running mate. During Roosevelt's presidency, his closest advisor was George W. Perkins. Despite Roosevelt's nickname of Trust Buster, he protected Morgan's interests throughout his term of office. His successor, William Howard Taft, was opposed to Morgan, and introduced antitrust legislation to control two Morgan trusts, International Harvester and U.S. Steel. Perkins then created the Progressive Party in 1912 to split the party and defeat Taft. J.P. Morgan's apex of power was attained in the Panic of 1907, when he assumed control of Wall Street. Oakley Thorne, president of the Trust Company of America, a victim of the panic, testified before a congressional committee that his bank had been subjected to only moderate withdrawals, that he had not applied for help, and that it was Morgan's sore point statement alone that had caused the run on his bank. That Morgan interests took advantage of the unsettled conditions during the autumn of 1907 to precipitate the panic, guiding it shrewdly, as it progressed, so that it would kill off rival banks and consolidate the preeminence of the banks within the Morgan orbit. Morgan's financial power came from control of the enormous cash flow of the nation's biggest life insurance companies. He gained control of Mutual Life, New York Life, Metropolitan Life, and with George F. Baker and James Stillman, bought controlling interest in Equitable from Thomas Fortune Ryan, who had acquired it from the Hyde family. Hyde originally set Equitable up, while acting as a front for Jacob Schiff and James Spire. On June 7, 1933, Nation noted J.P. Morgan is generally regarded as the most prominent banker in the world. Paul Y. Anderson mentioned in this article that testimony before the Senate Banking Committee showed that Morgan and his partners, including Thomas W. Lamont and E.T. Stottisbury, paid no federal income tax in 1933-1932. The partners paid a total of $48,000 in 1930. Anderson remarked, "Is there any mystery as to why the Marines were dispatched against Haiti, San Domingo, and Nicaragua, when those countries defaulted, or threatened to default, on the debt payments to American banks?" It has been shown that the Morgan firm had a certain selected list of clients to whom it sold stock at figures substantially under market prices. In the case of the Allegheny Corporation, these fair-haired boys got the stock at 20, when the market was 35. Anderson pointed out that these fortunate few could have sold the stock immediately for almost double what they had paid. Among the recipients of these Morgan favors, he listed Senator McAdoo, Justice Owen Roberts, Secretary Wooden, Owen D. Young, and John J. Raskob. In Nation, June 21, 933, Anderson continued, "When Fort Sumter was fired on, gold began to leave the country. The man who later said don't sell America short then took a flyer on the short side of America. He borrowed $2 million in gold coins and shipped it to London. This was really a blow behind the lines. Then he went to the gold room to watch the effect. There was a scramble for gold to pay commitments abroad, and this patriotic American with $2 million in eagles in London sold at his own price. In March 1929, perhaps in preparation for the coming storm, two Morgan banks merged, the National Bank of Commerce, which, according to the New York Times, should import Amtrak connections, and Guaranty Trust, forming a $2 billion institution. On February 26, 1929, IHE New York Times noted, the Guaranty Trust has long been known as one of the Morgan Group. The National Bank of Commerce has also been identified with Morgan interests. J.P. Morgan's longtime associate, George Fisher Baker, was one of the founders of First National Bank, purchasing 30 shares in 1-863-117 for $3,000. He also was cashier, and later became president. Sheridan A. Logan S. book, George F. Baker and His Bank, privately printed, 1981, noted that a European syndicate headed by N.M. Rothschild was represented in New York by August Belmont and First National Bank to refund the government debt. Baker wrote a letter August 29, 1876, "I have to advise you that our negotiations with the Treasury Department resulted in a contract between Messrs. N.M. Rothschild and Sons and others and the Secretary of the Treasury for the purpose of $40 million of U.S. 41 over 2% of 1-891, with an option on the remainder, $260 million. In this contract the bank participated to the extent of 10%, $4 million. Logan also states that in 1901 Baker sold to J.P. Morgan $23 million stock in Central Railroad off New Jersey. The mutual confidence and respect which developed between Mr. Baker and Mr. Morgan cemented their increasingly close relationship, and the First National Bank became more and more the unswerving ally and valuable source of mobile funds for the work of J.P. Morgan and Company. In 1901, Baker increased the stock of First National Bank from $500,000 to $10 million by a 1900% stock dividend. He organized First Security Company, a holding company, with this dividend. During the 1929 boom, Baker's personal fortune reached the $500 million mark. His son, George Jr., pleaded with him to pay of the $29 million owed on stocks in First Security's $80 million portfolio. Baker, then 89 years old, had not been informed of the planned credit contraction, possibly because the insiders feared he might gossip about it. He continued to refuse to sell any stocks. The crash of 1929 reduced his fortune to $200 million. When he died in 1931, the estate was appraised at $73 million. His son, George Jr., inherited $30 million. His health had been shattered by the strain of working with his father during the desperate days of 1929, and he died of a heart attack in Honolulu, aged 59. His son, George F. Hill, was found shot at Horseshoe Plantation, Florida in 1977. George Hill's son, Grenville, was found shot at Tallahassee, Florida in 1949, at age 33. George J.R.'s daughter, Edith Brevoort Baker, married Jacob Schiff's grandson, John Mortimer Schiff, in 1934, uniting two of America's largest fortunes. George Baker's daughter Florence had married Howard Bleistreet. George in 1891, member of one of England's oldest families. Fairgrandeur Priscilla married Angier Biddle Duke in 1937, and second, Alan A. Ryan Jr. in 1941, a relative of the Delanos. In 1935, General Smedley D. Butler wrote in the November issue of Common Sense of his Marine career, "I helped make Mexico and especially Tampico safe for American oil interests in 1914. One helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for the National City Bank boys to collect revenues in. Point. I helped purify Nicaragua for the International Banking House of Brown Brothers in 1909-12. In China in 1927 I helped see to it that Standard Oil went its way unmolested. In 1899 J.P. Morgan floated the first important foreign loan on behalf of the Mexican government. In 1901 he lent $50 million to the British government to fight the Boer War. But it was mainly into the countries of Spanish America that American capital found its way." Butler continued his revelations in the Dec 1935 issue. In 1910, 6 months after the Nicaraguan Revolution which ousted President Zelaya, his successor, Dr. Madras, grew cold towards the Nicaraguan investments of Brown Brothers and Zeligman Company. Another revolution immediately occurred. Butler mentions the Latin American activities of Brown Brothers, now Brown Brothers, Harriman, a firm little known to most Americans. 1981, a linen auctioneer from Belfast, Alexander Brown, established a banking house, Alexander Brown and Company, in the Slava trading port of Baltimore. It is now the oldest banking house in the U.S. Its English branch, Brown Shipley, also became influential, its most well-known member being Lord Montagnormon, governor of the Bank of England for many years, 1907-44, longer than any other man in history. Current Biography 1940, noted, there is an informal understanding that a director of Brown Shipley should be on the board of the Bank of England, and Norman was elected to it in 1907. 118. 119. In expanding Rothschild investments in U.S. railroads, Kuhn, Leib Company found a useful agent in E.H. Harriman. A young man on the make, Harriman married the daughter of the president of a small New York railroad, and soon looked for more worlds to conquer. George Redmond writes in Financial Giants of America, he, Harriman, early won the confidence of Kuhn, Leib Company, and established relations which later became most advantageous to both. Kuhn, Leib financed the Union Pacific takeover by Harriman. H. J. Eckenrode notes in E. H. Harriman, in his takeover of UP, Harriman had behind him tremendous financial force, not only Kuhn, Leib Company with funds from Frankfurt and Berlin, but the National City Bank, the greatest source of cash in the country. Harriman employed Judge Robert Scott Lovett as general counsel for Union Pacific. When Harriman and Otto Kahn were summoned by the Ike in 1897, Lovett advised them to refuse to answer all questions about their stock operations. In 1908, the Supreme Court upheld their refusal to talk. The records of this case, SC No. 133 U.S. v. Upry, later disappeared from the Library of Congress. In 1911, the Equitable Life Insurance Building, which contained all the records of the UP RR, burned, destroying all UP papers to that date. Lovett's son, Robert Abercrombie Lovett, married Adele Brown, daughter of a partner of Brown Brothers, and became partner in 1926. He was Special Assistant Secretary of War 1942-45, Under Secretary of State, 1947-49, departure. Secretary of Defense 1952-51, Secretary of Defense 1951-53. It was Lovett who took the then Secretary of Defense James Forrestal, of Dillon Reed Company, to Fisher's Island to persuade him to change his stand against U.S. Middle Eastern policies. Forrestal refused, and was placed in a mental ward at the National Institute of Health, where he fell out of the window. Lovett then replaced him as Secretary of Defense. Brown Brothers backed the B&O steamship line in 1887, and went into joint venture with J&W Zeligman Company on a number of South American loans. In 1915, Brown Brothers combined with J.P. Morgan to float a series of Latin American loans, which in many instances were followed by revolutions in the respective countries. In The Nation, June 7, 1922, Oswald Garrison Villard noted, the Republic of Brown Brothers with J&W Zeligman had reduced Haiti, Santo Domingo, and Nicaragua to the status of colonies with ruinous loans. Most of the loans were repaid in 1924. In 1931, W. Averill Harriman, son of E. H. Harriman, merged his banking house W. A. Harriman and Company with Brown Brothers, to form the present firm of Brown Brothers, Harriman. In 1933, Brown Brothers Harriman backed the expansion of CBS, in which they have maintained a large position. The Brown Brothers firm occupied offices on the corner of Wall Street and Hanover, which had been occupied by J.L. and J.S. Joseph Company, the American representatives of the Rothschilds. Joseph's went broke in the panic of 1837, having been cut loose by the Rothschilds, who were now operating through August Belmont and George Peabody and Company. W. Averill Harriman brought to the new firm his vice president, Prescott Sheldon Bush, who had been with him since 1926. Bush became chairman of the board of Pennsylvania Water and Power Company, director U.S. Rubber, Pan Am, CBS, dresser MFG Co. Vanadium, U.S. Guarantee, Prudential Insurance and partner Brown Brothers Harriman. He was CHM in National War Fund 1943-44 and CHM in USO. His son George Bush is now president of the U.S. George Herbert Walker, grandfather of George Bush, who was named after him, became president of W.A. Harriman Company in 1928 till the now Brown Brothers. Harriman. He was director of Belgian American Coke Ovens Corporation, CHM, in Habersham Cable Corporation, CHM, in International Great Northern Railway, director Certainteed Products, American Shipping and Commerce Corporation, American International Corporation, Cuba Railway Company, Pennsylvania Coal and Coke. He was the donor of the Walker Cup, the prestigious golf trophy, and president of the U.S. Golf Association. In 1925, he financed the building of Madison Square Garden. His son, George H. Walker Jr., became CHM in Walker Bush Oil Corporation, and Zapata Petroleum, George Bush's firm, Silesian Holdings, with W.A. Harriman City Investing Corporation, Westmoreland Coal Company, and West Indies Sugar Company. He is a trustee of Yale. George H. Walker III merged the firm of G.H. Walker Company with Laird and Company and White and Weld in 1974. He is now senior vice president of White and Weld. 120. 121. Some Americans see George Bush's rapid rise to the presidency as evidence of the power of the trilateralists. But Bush's stars go back much farther than the trilaterals. He is a distant cousin of the Queen of England, the black nobility which traces its power back some 5,000 years, and his family firm, Brown Brothers Harriman, has represented the Bank of England here since the early 1800s. Through service to the Harrimans, the Bush family achieved the position of a third-ranked family in the hierarchy of dynastic families. The world order dynastic families of the first rank are the Rothschild and the ruling aristocracy of England and Europe, most of whom have owned stock in the Bank of England since 1700. The second rank of dynastic families consist of those who serve as courtiers to the first rank. The second rank includes families such as the Rockefellers, the Morgans, and the Harrimans. By becoming servants of a dynastic family of the second rank, the Harrimans, the Bush family entered the ranks of the third group of dynastic families of the world order. When Averell Harriman began doing business with Moscow in 1921, he dealt directly with Felix Dzerzhinsky, head of Chica, now known as the KGB. Harriman and other Western financiers linked to the terrorist activities of Dzerzhinsky became known as the Trust. They worked through a number of firms located in the Equitable Trust building at 120 Broadway in New York's financial district. These firms included E.H. Harriman Company, American International Corporation, Dresser Industries, J.P. Morgan Company, and Equitable Trust. As members of the Trust, the owners of these firms served as a colonial government of the Soviet Union, as illustrated by the fact that Averell Harriman spent most of the Second World War at Stalin's side in Moscow, directing the Russian war effort. George Bush's assets are held in a blind trust, while he serves as President of the United States. The blind trust is handled by a family friend named William Stamps Farish II. His father founded Humble Oil Corporation in 1917, raising capital for the venture from Walter C. Teagle, president of Standard Oil. Farish later succeeded Teagle as president of Standard Oil, and has always been known as a Rockefeller man. He married into the wealthy Rice family of Houston, whose progenitor had been murdered by his secretary and a crooked lawyer. 122. In order to prevent his fortune from being donated to Rice Institute, the killers were sent to prison, and the institute was built. William Farish 11 and the Queen of England have much in common. Their families collected royalties on each gallon of gasoline burned by the Nazi planes which nightly bombed London. Because of these memories, Queen Elizabeth stays in only one private home in America when she visits here, the Farish home. Each autumn, President Bush hunts quail on the 10,000-acre Lazy F Ranch at Beeville, Texas, one of Farish's many lavish estates. He is a director of Pogo Producting, formed as a spin-off of Pennzoil by Chemical Bank, and manufacturer S. Hanover Bank, Rothschild. When George Bush formed Zapata Oil Company with Hugh and Bill Leitke in 1953, the partners were unwilling to choose a name from American history, such as Washington or Lee. Instead, they named Fear from after Oni of Mexico quote most bloodthirsty communist or STS General Emiliano Zapata. From its outset, the firm was involved heavily in CIA activities. In 1961, When the CIA planned the Bay of Pigs invasion, George Bush resided in Houston, where he worked secretly with George D. Morenskilt, an oil man who is now believed to have been a Soviet plant. An entry in D. Morenskilt's personal phone book showed Bush, George H.W., Poppy, 1412 W., Ohio, and also Zapata Petroleum Midland. This phone book was found after D. Morenskilt's suicide. The top secret name for the CIA Bay of Pigs plan, known only to a few top people, was Operation Zapata. Colonel Fletcher Prouty, formerly with the Chiefs of Staff, was responsible for securing ordnance for the Bay of Pigs invasion. He obtained two ships from the Navy which were sent to Elizabeth City, North Carolina to be remitted for the invasion. New names were painted on these ships, Barbara, and Houston. J. Edgar Hoover wrote a memorandum on November 29, 1963 after the JRK assassination that Mr. George Bush of the CIA was assessing the reaction of Cuban exiles in Miami. Bush had begun service with the CIA in 1960, using his oil business as a cover. Zapata Oil may have been one of the CIA, the company, firms from its outset. 123. Besides Farish, Bush's other close friend is Nicholas Brady, senior partner of Dillon Reed, a New York investment house. Brady was the personal protege of C. Douglas Dillon, head of the firm, who has an enormous estate at Short Hills, New Jersey. Brady was brought up on the neighboring estate, a 4,000-acre spread only a few miles from Manhattan. Dillon Reed was founded by Clarence Dillon, Lepowski, of Texas, who bought the firm from William Reed of New York. His son served as Secretary of the Treasury for years. He is one of America's silent billionaires, his enormous fortune never reported in the press. Bush appointed Nicholas Brady as his Secretary of the Treasury. He confers daily with Brady. Harriman was the go-between of Churchill and Roosevelt's World War II lines. The two leaders did not know or particularly like each other. Each of them conferred with W. Admiral Harriman about how to talk to the other, and carefully followed his advice. W. A. Harriman served as U.S. Ambassador at Large during World War II, principally in Moscow with Stalin. His brother E. Roland was president of the American Red Cross. Robert A. Lovett was Secretary of Defense. Harriman was related by marriage to Wild Bill Donovan, founder of the U.S. Brown Brothers, has always maintained close relations with British firms. James Brown, partner from 1935 to 50, was Director Northern Assurance of London, Sun Insurance, President British Empire Club and National Bank of Nicaragua. Thatcher M. Brown, another partner, was Director of Manchester Land Company, National Bank of Nicaragua, Chairman of the Board of Liverpool and London Insurance Company. Limited, Globe Indemnity Company, Royal Insurance, British and Foreign Marine Insurance Limited, American London and Empire Company, Ocean Accident and Guarantee of London, and Thames and Mersey Marine Insurance Company. The New York Times noted May 29, 1928, Drive Rudolf Rosler, representative of the New York banking house of Brown Brothers, said Germany for a number of years to come would be a borrowing nation. Brown Brothers had loaned the city of Berlin $15 million on 6% 30-year. 124. Bonds and Mr. Rosler, who completed details of the transaction, said that it was the biggest loan to a city in Europe since 1914. The New York Times later noted, word was received here yesterday by J. Henry Schroeder Banking Corporation, representative in the U.S. for Captain Alfred Lowenstein, that a corporation organized by the Belgian capitalist and French associates, whom it has offered the public in Paris, had been oversubscribed 25 times. The holding company for artificial silk shares was offered at $1.17.50 and promptly went to $200. This good news was somewhat palled by the Times report that a syndicate had been formed to handle this stock, since Captain Alfred Lowenstein, whose reported death through a fall from an airplane in the English Channel July 4th, has been surrounded by mystery. J. Henry Schroeder is to purchase $25 million of bonds of International Holding and Investment Corporation through Albert Pem, of J. Henry Schroeder London, and Albert Svarvazy, head of British Foreign and Colonial Corporation, British Investing Company. The July 5th, 28 New York Times headlined, Captain Lowenstein falls from plane. Known as Mystery Man. Alfred Lowenstein was known as a Croesus. The Mystery Man of Europe, the successor to Sir Basil Zadaroff as a man of mystery, in European finance. The pilot informed the authorities that, while the plane was crossing the sea, Captain Lowenstein, wishing to go to the washroom, opened the wrong door and fell out. His valet and two stenographers, as well as the pilot and mechanic of the plane, were present, but did not notice what happened. The story added that Lowenstein owned 8 villas in Biarritz, an estate in Lancashire, a castle in Brussels, and a townhouse in London. Informed observers believed it was Zatarov himself who dethroned the pretender to his title as Mystery Man of Europe. Lowenstein had become involved in a desperate struggle with Zatarov and his associate, Dreyfus Clavel, to control the artificial silk industry in Europe. After Lowenstein's accident, his two associates in this struggle also died mysteriously. M.M. Erich had an automobile accident on a deserted road, with no witnesses. Lowenstein's third. 125. Associate, Prince Radziwill, was poisoned by a woman friend, according to a French journal, La Crapole. The Robert Maxwell case parallels in many ways the Lowenstein affair. After Maxwell's sudden death in a fall from his yacht, more than $2 billion was found to have been siphoned from his many enterprises. The money will never be recovered. Maxwell had been identified as an agent of Mossad, Israeli intelligence, shortly before his demise. It is believed Mossad had him disposed of to prevent him from testifying about his operations for Mossad. W. Averell Harriman was 78 when his wife died. A year later, Catherine Meyer Graham, publisher of the Washington Post, invited him to a party to meet Pam Churchill, daughter of Lord Digby, an English horse fancier. She had been married to Randolph Churchill, and was mother of the present Winston Churchill. She then married into the first family of Hollywood, producer Leland Hayward, formerly married to actress Margaret Sullivan. In Haywire, her autobiography, Brooke Hayward describes her stepmother as a cold-blooded gold digger who made off with her mother's jewels. Pam dated Ely D. Rothschild before deciding to marry Harriman. They are now the dominant figures in the Democratic Party. Harriman has given $15 million to the Russian Institute at Columbia, now the Harriman Institute. Another prominent banking house is the firm of Dylan Reed. Clarence Dylan, 1-880-1979, was born in San Antonio, Texas, son of Sam Landber Felipowski or Lapowitz. He graduated from Harvard in 1905, married Ann Douglas of Milwaukee, whose father owned Milwaukee Machine and Tool Company. They went abroad from 1908 to 1910. Their son, C. Douglas Dillon, was born in Switzerland in 1909. In 1912, Dillon met William A. Reed, founder of a well-known Wall Street bond brokerage, through a Harvard classmate. They became partners. Reed died suddenly in 1916, and Dillon bought control of the firm. During World War I, Dillon served as Bernard Barracks Reifend, man at the War Industries Board. In 1915, Dillon had set up American and Foreign Securities Corporation to finance the French government's purchases of munitions in the U.S. His right-hand man at Dillon Reed was James A. Forrestal, who later died while serving as Secretary of Defense. Dillon Reed played a crucial role in rearming Hitler during the preparation for World War II. In 1957, Fortune magazine listed Clarence Dillon as one of the richest men in the U.S., 150 to 200 million. By normal growth rates, his son C. Douglas Dillon should be worth over $1 billion, but nobody knows. C. Douglas Dillon worked with John Foster Dulles on the Dewey campaigns, and served as Under Secretary of State, helping Bechtel Corporation obtain its first large Saudi Arabian contracts, which $1.35 billion operation. Dillon was ambassador to France 1953-57, later became Secretary of the Treasury. He was chairman of the Rockefeller Foundation from 1971-75, then chairman of the Brookings Institution. To organize his estate, he sold Dillon Reed to the Bechtel Corporation. He is considered to be one of the 10 wealthiest men in the U.S. and one of the 3 most powerful. Second to the Rothschilds, the Warburgs were considered the most important international banking family of the 19th and 20th centuries. In 1798, two sons of Marcus Gumprich Warburg, Moses Marcus and Gerson W., founded M.M. Warburg Company in Hamburg. They were descendants of Simon von Kassel, a 16th century moneylender and pawnbroker. They were also direct descendants of Abraham Del Banco, largest banker in Venice. When they moved north, they took the name of Warburg, after Cassel settled in this Westphalian town. In 1814, the Warburgs became one of the first affiliates of N.M. Rothschild of London. They were related to the leading banking families of Europe, the Rosenbergs of Kiev, the Gunsbergs in St. Petersburg, the Oppenheims and Goldschmidts in Germany. Maury T.Z. Warburg was apprenticed to the Rothschilds in Italy and Paris, and later married Charlotte Oppenheim, whose family were diamond merchants in Frankfurt. They had five sons, known as the Five Hamburgers. The oldest, Abby, founded the Warburg Institute. Max financed the German struggle in World War I and later, the Nazi regime. Dr. Fritz Warburg was German commercial attaché in 124. 127. Stockholm during World War I. Paul and Felix emigrated to America and joined the firm of Kuhn, Leib and Company with Jacob Schiff, who had been born in the Rothschild house in Frankfurt. Paul wrote the Federal Reserve Act and saw it through Congress. He represented the U.S. at the Versailles Peace Conference, while his brother Max represented German interests. The memoirs of Max Warburg state, the Kaiser thumped the table violently and shouted, "Must you always be right," but then listened carefully to Max's view of financial matters. M.M. Warburg Company closed during World War II but reopened in 1970. George Sikalski nodded in "We Jews," even in Hitler Germany the firm of Max Warburg was exempted from persecution. Max left for the U.S. in 1939, unhampered by supposed restrictions on Jews. The U.S. Naval Secret Service Report Deck 2, 1918 noted, Paul Warburg, German, nationalized U.S. citizen 1911, decorated by Kaiser, handled large sums furnished by German bankers for Lenin and Trotsky. Has brother Max, who is director of Espionage System of Germany. In partnership with Walter Teagle of Standard Oil, Paul Warburg organized the International Die Trust IG Farben and Agfa Ensco Film Trust. At the second annual convention of the American Acceptance Council, Deck 2, 1920, President Paul Warburg said, "It is a great satisfaction to report that during the year under review it was possible for the American Acceptance Council to effort for develop and strengthen its relations with the Federal Reserve System." He did not add that as vice chairman of the Federal Reserve Board from 1914-18, he had organized the Federal Reserve System, or that he served as president of the Federal Advisory Council from 1918-27, which actually formulated policy for the board. He was director of Union Pacific, B&O Rise, National Railways of Mexico, Western Union, Wells Fargo, American IG Chemical, Agfa Ensco, Westinghouse, Warburg Banks in Amsterdam, London and Hamburg, and chairman of the board of International Acceptance Bank. His brother Felix was chief financial banker of the Zionist Organization of America, Palestine Economic Corporation, National Railway S of Mexico, Prussian Life Insurance of Berlin, and many other companies. Felix's son Edward M.M. Warburg succeeded General Donovan as coordinator of information in 1941 and later served as special political advisor to General Eisenhower at Chief, London during World War II. His other son Frederick was Herbert Lehman's right-hand man in organizing the Lehman Corporation, and was later known as the foreign minister of Kuhn, Leib, because of his many contacts around the world. He retired as a country gentleman at his estate Snake Hill, Middleburg, Virginia. His partner, Louis L. Strauss, had a magnificent estate nearby at Brandy Station, site of the Civil War engagement which was the largest cavalry battle in U.S. history. Department of Commerce figures showed that Kuhn, Leib controlled 64% of all railroad mileage in the U.S. in 1900, which dropped to a mere 41% by 1939. In 1900, Kuhn, Leib and J.P. Morgan, representing the Rothschilds, controlled 93% of all railway millage in the U.S. Spire and Company controlled New York real estate and South American minerals, Seligman and Company sugar, public utilities, and Latin American loans, August Belmont, the New York subway system, Lazard Freers, gold and silver, specializing in international gold movements. U.S. News May 14, 1984 listed Who Runs America. The first 10 included Weinberger and Schultz of Bechtel Corporation, the second 10 included Sulzberger of the New York Times, Vice President Bush, David Rockefeller, the third 10 included Catherine Graham and Henry Kissinger. Former President Gerald Ford was not listed. He is now director of GK Technologies, a $1.19 billion firm with large defense contracts. Other leading defense firms are United Technologies, Scuttle Corporation, whose chairman Malcolm Baldrige is now Secretary of Commerce. Directors include Daniel Pomeroy Davison of J.P. Morgan Bank and President U.S. Trust, Olin Corporation, $1.85 billion, and General Dynamics, controlled by the Crown Family of Chicago, 128. 129. When Texaco swallowed the $12 billion Getty Oil Corporation, after its founder died, it showed the financial power of the London connection. Directors of Texaco included Willard C. Butcher, former CHMN of Chase Manhattan, Earl of Granard, Forbes, the first baronet had reduced Sligo for William III, and grandson of Ogden Mills, Secretary of Treasury U.S. 1932-33. Thomas H. Moorer, CHMN Joint CHFS of Staff 1972-74, Director. Fairchild Banker Ramo, Robert V. Russo, Director Brookings Institution, Trilateral Commission. The Rothschild-Houston-Cleveland Axis brought off one of its greatest coups when its agent John Connolly, then Secretary of the Treasury, persuaded Nixon to abandon the gold standard. The New York Times headlined, August 16, 1971, severs link between dollar and gold. President Nixon announced tonight that henceforth the U.S. would cease to convert foreign-held dollars into gold, unilaterally changing the 25-year-old international monetary system. The president said he was taking the action to stop the attacks of foreign monetary speculators against the dollar. The change in the world monetary system brought about by the presidential decision to cease converting foreign-held dollars into gold is entirely uncertain. That was the word used by Secretary Treasury John B. Connolly. Mr. Connolly said he did not know what would happen. The Times noted that advice to impose some controls has been given the president from such sources as David Rockefeller, CHMN of the $23 billion Chase Manhattan Corporation, and the Organization for Economic Development, a group representing 22 nations. The Times editorially stated, "We unhesitatingly applaud the boldness with which the president has moved on all economic fronts, an admiration for the completeness with which the president has junked the do-nothing approach that immobilized the country and sapped the national will." Volcker conferred with leading European financial officials here today on President Nixon's new policy to meet the dollar crisis. He hinted broadly that the U.S. would be happy if other countries let their currencies float in the exchange markets. Their value would presumably rise in relation to the dollar. Mr. Volcker said he had found a very good understanding in his meeting. But at the end of a confusing day in European ministries and banks, few thought they could see a clear way out of the immediate monetary chaos caused by Mr. Nixon's moves. Advanced knowledge of such a far-reaching change in the monetary system would be worth billions of dollars. On the 17th of August 1971, The Times quoted Paul Volcker, Under Secretary of the Treasury, who, when asked if other currencies would rise in relation to the dollar, replied, "I think we are in no position to object." With the story was a photo of Volcker conferring with banking officials in London, with the caption, Under Secretary Paul A. 130.